I want you to take your Bibles just a couple of hours. Mark chapter number 5. No, I'm not going to be long. I'm aware that clock right back here says 9 o'clock. And most of you, it's probably past your bedtime, so I'm not going to keep you long. Mark chapter number 5, y'all know the story here. Starts off at the end of chapter number 4. I'll just give you a little bit of summary. The end of chapter number 4, the Lord tells the disciples, let's get in the boat, we're going to the other side. But when the Lord tells these disciples this, there is no crash course, Brother Braddy, on what happens if a storm comes up. Brother Billy, he doesn't give them instructions. You know, now if the typhoon hits or whatever, preacher, there's no instruction. These boys just obeyed the word of the Lord. They get in the boat. They head to the other side. And right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of the sea, the storm hits. And the Bible says that the waves beat against the ship, that it was now full. And the Bible says that these boys know the Lord's asleep in the hinder parts of the ship, and somebody finally gets the bright idea, well, maybe we need to go get the Lord. The Lord comes, and they ask him the dumbest question that anybody could ever ask. Carest thou not that we perish? Now, these boys had walked with the Lord. They knew he cared about them. They knew he cared about sinners. But their lapse of faith, their lapse of judgment, they ask him that question. And the Lord says, boys, I'm getting ready to show you something. He steps out on the bow of that ship. He speaks peace. The waves lay down. The wind stops blowing. The lightning stops flashing. And there's a great calm. This tells us, this passage of Scripture tells us that our God is God over the deep. That deep being the sea of life that we're on. And I want you to know, God's in control of everything that's going on in your life. He is the God over the deep. You get to the first part of chapter number 5, the Bible tells us that he comes to the land, the land of the Gadareans and Gadara, and there's a maniac, the Bible says, who sees him, falls down at his feet. The Lord knows that this man is possessed with demons. The Bible says that he's living in the tombs. It takes a demonic man to live in the tombs. The Bible says they tried to bind him with fetters. He can't be bound. He's naked, the Bible says, and he falls down at the feet of the Lord. The Lord asked these demons, what is thy name? Like he didn't know. And they said, we are legion, for we are many. And they knew that our God has the power to destroy them. But they said, Lord, give us leave. 2,000 swine are standing close by. They go into the swine. They go down the hill. They go into the sea. They choke themselves. They're drowned in the sea. This tells us that our God is not only God over the deep, but he's God over demons. The spiritual warfare that's going on out there, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to worry about demons. We can be oppressed, but we cannot be possessed if we know the God of heaven as our Savior. And it's real. That stuff is real. But then we get here to our text, Mark chapter number 5. Look at verse number 22. The Bible says there came one ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And the Bible says that, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And the first five words of verse number 24 reads like this, and Jesus went with him. And Jesus went with him. Let me go ahead and start off the message by saying it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter if you're facing the deep things on this sea of life. It doesn't matter if you're facing demons. It doesn't matter if you're facing disease. It doesn't matter what it is you're facing. There is a God who says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I'm with thee always, even to the end of the world. I am that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what kind of storm you're going through. It doesn't matter what kind of heartache. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble, what kind of trial, what kind of valley. There is a God who is with you. There is a God who will go with you. There is a God who will stick with you. There is a God, and Jesus went with him. He's with you. But in the life of Jairus, this ruler of the synagogue, number one, the Bible says, and Jesus went with him, number one, through his desperation. I can imagine having four daughters myself,
And as far as I know, Brother Don, I've never been to the place in my life where I felt like one of my daughters was going to die. I've never been there. Some of you have. I know you have. Some of you have been there. Some of you have even reached that plateau and went further with the death itself. Some of you have been there. But as far as I know, my 25-year-olds, my twins, my 16-year-old, and my 8-year-old daughter, Brother Matt, I've never been to the place where I thought one of my little girls was going to die. My wife's been in the birthing room with my girls, and she said it got a little touch and go in there. But as far as me personally seeing that, Brother Billy, I've never had to experience that. I've seen the broken arms. I've seen the bumps and bruises. I've seen the cuts. But never one time that I know of, I've never been to the place where I felt like my little girl's about to die. But I can imagine Jairus and having daughters myself and you having sons and daughters yourself. You probably feel the same desperation that he feels if there ever had been that opportunity, if there ever has been that opportunity. You're wanting to do everything you can to help your little child. You're wanting to do everything you can to help your little girl, to help your little boy. You get to the place where you're groaning in spirit. You get to the place where your heart's heavy. You get to the place where you're hurting and you know that, hey, there's nothing I can do. The doctors have done all they can do. The medicine's done all it can do. And there's only one place we can go for help. We get to that desperate place in life where we have to call out to God. We get to that desperate place in life where we know our only help and our only hope has to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to come with us. And he's telling the Lord, Lord, I need you to come to my house. My little girl is about to die. I need you to lay hands on her. Lord, I know you can speak the word, but God, I need to see it. I need you to come. Just come and lay hands on her that she may live. Jairus is as desperate a man as he could be. And in the desperation of our lives, it may not be a daughter that's about to die. It may be the word cancer in your name. It may be the word heart attack in your name. It may be some other disease. It may be a car wreck. It could be this. It may be COVID, Brother Don, in your case. We get to the place where we're desperate. I can imagine hearing from Brother Matt when you were going through what you were going through. It was a desperate situation. People were calling out to God. We knew that people would pray, but our only help and our only hope had to come from God Almighty. I can remember when my mom had cancer, and I said, God, please heal my mom. I knew the doctors had done all they could do. I knew the medical medicine had done all it could do, and the only hope and the only help we had was to call on God. We get desperate in those situations and we call on God, and Jesus goes with us. Amen. In our moments of desperation. But not only in our moments of desperation, but number two, and Jesus went with him in what Jairus thought was a distraction. Jairus comes to the Lord. Lord, my little girl's at the point of death. She could die at any second. Lord, I need you to come and I need you to lay hands on her that she may live. And I can imagine when the Lord says, okay, Jairus, let's go. Brother Eric, I can imagine that Jairus probably takes off in a run. And the Lord's probably walking really fast behind him, keeping up with Jairus because he knows how desperate Jairus is. And all of a sudden, The Lord stops. I can imagine Jairus is getting a few steps ahead and maybe he's looking back. Lord, remember me? You remember the story that I just told you? Come on, Lord, we got to go. Lord, we... He looks around and he probably sees that woman with that issue of blood. Yeah. And he probably says something like this, Lord, that woman's been sick 12 years. What's one more day? Lord, we don't need no holdups. Lord, we don't need any distractions. Lord, we need to go. My situation is important. My situation is desperate. Lord, you can deal with her a little bit later. Lord, you can help her a little bit later. But I can imagine the Lord is saying, hey, Jairus, I'm going to take care of your situation when I get over there. But right now, here's a need. Right now, there's people standing around. There are people know that this woman has tried every doctor. She spent all she had, and there's no help, and there's been no hope. But let me tell you one thing. The God of heaven, the God of healing, was standing right there in front of her, and God said, I'm getting ready to show this woman something. Jairus, I'm getting ready to show you something. I'm getting ready to show everybody standing around that I am who I said I am. I'm the great physician. I'm going to heal this woman, and when I do, I'm going to get every bit of glory out of this woman and out of everybody standing around. Amen. And Jairus, when I get to your house, I'm going to do the same thing over there. I'm going to get every bit of glory over there too. Jairus, I'm reminded of what he said, and I believe it's John chapter number 12, verse 28. The Lord said, Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven. God said, I have. God said, I have. Friend, I want you to know he's going to get glory in everything he does, whether it be for our good or whether it be hurting our body. God is still going to get glory in every situation, everything that goes on. It's always for our good, and everything is for his glory. This is not a distraction to him. But that's how we are. We see God answering prayers over here, and we see God answering prayers over here. And we see God answering prayers over here. And we see God answering prayers over here. And we're thinking, God, remember me? God, I know they sick. But God, I got a bad need. God, I'm in desperate situation. God, I need you to stop what you're doing and help me. That's how we are. We're all in this flesh. We're all just as greedy as the next person. When it comes to everybody else's situation, that's not important to me. My situation is important to me. And I'm thinking, God, could you put them next in line? Could you move me to the front of the line? God, I need a touch right now. Let me remind every one of us that God's shoulders are big enough to carry every bit of our problems all at the same time. His ear can hear our cry all at the same time. His arm's not short, the Bible says, and his ear's not deaf, that he cannot reach us and he cannot help. He can carry all of our burdens all at the same time. He can hear us cry to him all at the same time. He can heal cancer right over here just as much as he can heal something else right over here all at the same time. There's nothing too great for him. There's no distractions to God. God's in time. He's on time every time. There is no distractions in the life of God. God hears us all. God knows what we need exactly when we need it. This is not a distraction. But Jairus is thinking, Lord, we got to go. Lord, would you please hurry? Come on, we got to go. He's not distracted by people, places, or things. He is not distracted. He knows what Jairus needs, but he also knows what this woman needs. This is not a distraction to him. He went with him through his desperation. He went with Jairus through what Jairus thought was a distraction. Number three, he went with Jairus in his disbelief. In his disbelief. You say, how do you know he lost his belief in God? The Lord told him in verse 35, I believe it is, be not afraid, only believe. I can imagine when Jairus comes to him in verse number 23, Lord, when he's falling down at his feet and he's saying, Lord, my little daughter's lying at the point of death. Lord, my little daughter's sick. Lord, she's about to die. Lord, I've got all the faith in the world. Maybe Jairus was standing on the banks of the sea when he saw the Lord step out on the bow of that boat. And they asked the question, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? I can imagine Jairus is saying, that's who my little girl needs. I can imagine Jairus is saying, that's the one right there. I need to get him to my house. I need him to touch my little girl. My little girl can be healed if I can just get him to my house. All the faith in the world Jairus has in verse number 23 and verse number 24. Maybe Jairus was standing by. He probably knew who that maniac of the Gadareans was. And Jairus saw that man clothed in his right mind. And Jairus is probably thinking, I need him. My desperation needs him. I need to get him to my house. I believe and I know I've got the faith to believe that he's the one that can heal my little girl. He's the one that can raise her up. I need to get him to my house. But just as quick as the distraction, what he thinks is the distraction's over, that servant came. And I don't know, preacher, how the situation is. I don't know if the servant may be standing on the porch. I don't know if the servant has run all the way to the situation. But I can imagine everybody standing around. Here's what he says. Thy daughter's dead. Yeah. Thy daughter's dead. And then he asked the question, why troubleth thee the master any further? Jairus, there's no hope now. This servant's got the idea. There's nothing nobody can do now. She's already gone. There is not one thing can be done, Jairus. You had all the faith in the world just a few minutes ago, but the Lord had got distracted, and maybe he wasn't the one that was going to meet your need, Jairus. Maybe he wasn't the one that was going to fulfill what you needed in your life, that was going to help your desperation. Jairus, you know why you keep troubling him? There's nothing he can do now. And I can imagine, preacher, that his faith level and his belief level goes from full all the way to empty in a hurry. I can imagine he's about as low. I can imagine the wife's probably screaming at the house. I can imagine the family members are weeping and wailing, and I can imagine everybody has lost hope. Everybody has lost faith. Everybody has lost belief in this Lord, in this Jesus character who they think is going to come over and do it. But they thinking, hey, it's all over. It's all said and done. She's dead now. There's nothing nobody can do. But the Lord never tells us it takes a mountain load of faith for him to work. He never says it takes a truckload. He never says that I have to be filled from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head with faith. He never tells me I have to have all the faith in the world for him to do his work. No, he says if you just have just the faith of a grain of mustard seed, if you just have just a little bit of faith, if you just believe just a little bit that I can do what I said I can do, I'll move mountains out of your way. I'll make the deep things not deep anymore in your life. I'll do everything you need me to do. He said, because I'm God. I don't need much of your belief. I don't need much of your faith. You just got to know that I'm God and I can raise the dead. I can make the blind to see. I can make the lame to walk and the dumb to speak. I am God. I can do it. Just have faith. Be not afraid. Only believe. And when in your moments of desperation, when you think distractions are popping up everywhere, be not afraid. Only believe. He's who he said he was. He's never one time let you down. He didn't let you down yesterday. He didn't let you down today. He ain't gonna let you down tomorrow. He's got you in the palm of his hand. We're sealed to the day of redemption. He's just as much God when we have a little bit of faith as when our faith is full. He is still the same. I am the Lord. I change not. I am God. There's none beside me. No, not one. He went with Jairus in his desperation. He went with Jairus in what Jairus thought was a distraction. He went with Jairus in his disbelief. But number four, and I'll go ahead and throw a number five on there. He went with Jairus, preacher, in death and in deliverance. He went with Jairus in death and deliverance. Had that little girl stayed dead, the Lord would have still been with him. We've seen so much death over the last 28 months. So much death over the last 28 months. But rest assured, child of God, you've not been by yourself when that loved one's crossed the river. You've not had to walk through that valley all by yourself. You didn't have to walk through that storm all by yourself. Just because that loved one passed over don't mean that it's over for you. There's still a God who says, I'll never leave you. There's still a God that says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's still a God who's there with us. And even in death, you can rest assured, God would have still got glory. But God says, I'm going to show you one more thing, which doesn't happen too much in our lifetime. But it can. The Lord sent everybody away. He took the mom and dad like they had no idea where she was. You read it. It's in there. He said he took the mom and dad to where the little girl was. And he did exactly what Jairus asked him to do. Lord, come to my house. Lay hands on her that she may live. And the Bible says that he spoke, daughter, come forth. And that little 12-year-old girl opened up her eyes. The deliverance was there. Rest assured, if they don't get healed in this life, they're healed in the life to come. The deliverance is waiting. It can happen in this life. We don't see it as much, but you rest assured, there is deliverance over there. When he walks with us through death, when we face death, there is ultimate healing on that side. And then they'll never be sick again. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more desperation. There'll be no more what he thought was distractions. Friend, there'll be no more disbelief. We'll all be healed because the deliverance has come. And when you're standing by the bedside of that loved one getting ready to cross over, you could sing the song, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. Macy, come to the piano. Baby, you come. I want y'all to sing that brand new song. I'm glad in my situations of life, I put it to you like this. I'm glad in my desperate situations in life. I'm glad when I think he's distracted. When I think everybody's getting help but me. I'm thankful in the moments of faithlessness and my moments of disbelief. Brother Charles. I'm glad that I know Jesus went with me. In death, he's there. And one of these days, as the old song says, we'll stand on the shores of sweet deliverance. And we'll praise him forever and forever and forever. Why? Because through this life, Jesus went with us. Be not afraid, only believe. Jesus went with us. The girls, I don't know, about a month and a half ago, I'd preach this message, and they went right to the piano and started working on the song. And this song says, just as that servant cried, why trouble ye the master anymore? There's a God in heaven that's crying back, keep troubling. You keep asking. You keep seeking. You keep knocking. I'm listening. I'm not distracted. I'm listening. And I will go with you. We're standing all over the building, heads are bowed, eyes closed. I don't have a clue what you're facing. I don't even know what's been preached here this week other than the message we just heard. But I do know there's a God who gives the promise. He will go with us. No matter what's going on in your life and mine, Jesus will go with us. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. Thank you for the man of God we heard preach on being filled with the Spirit of God. And God, right now, I pray that you'd help us all to put our cares on you, casting all your care on you, you said, because you care for us. God, for every burden, every heartache, every trouble, every trial, God, I thank you for going with us. God, in our moments of weakness, in our moments of disbelief, in our moments of distractions and desperation and even death, God, I'm glad you go with us. Have your way in this invitation. God, I pray that you touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. God, for that one who may be in the building watching by social media that's lost, don't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I couldn't think of a better time or a better place. They put their faith and trust in the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, have your way, touch hearts, and change lives as only you can do. And we're going to be careful to praise you, not for what you're doing and what you've done, but what you're going to do. In Christ's name I pray.